Tua.
Fires. Touchdown, Miami. Waddle snuck into the end zone of Miami.
Boy, tight throw, tight window. They had to get that touchdown on that play to get it.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network, covering your team, your Miami Dolphins. How's it going, everybody? I am your host, Travis Wingfield, and as always, I am here to bring you your daily dose of Miami Dolphins football. And on today's show, it's my favorite podcast of the week. We're breaking down the All-22, taking a look at some of the numbers, the advanced metrics, and all the key stats and snap counts. We'll scan the social, all of that and more from somewhere here in South Florida. This is the Drive Time Podcast.
Another Miami Dolphins.
Some housekeeping and news items off the top of this Tuesday Drive Time Podcast. Number one, the Dolphins signed a pair of players from their practice squad to the active 53-man roster. They are Duke Johnson and Sheldrick Redwine, a pair of former Hurricanes who obviously played in the game on Sunday. Also, Jalen Waddle and Philip Lindsay coming off the COVID IR list. They will be eligible to return to practice this week. No Will Fuller for the rest of the season. Brian Flores announced on Monday that he would not come back this season for the Miami Dolphins. He also said we'll see about Malcolm Brown and whether or not he can come back from his injury off the injury reserve this week for the Dolphins in that backfield. Miami also adds Justin Coleman to the reserve COVID-19 list and released safety Will Parks. All caught up there? Good to go. With that, let's go ahead and jump right in to the All-22 review. We start on offense this time, and normally, like we do every time, but normally we start with Tua in the passing game, but I wanted to start this time with the offensive line and the running game. And I think if you could go back and measure, you know, kind of a curve, a graph of the running game, just from our Tuesday tape review shows, every single week, plot every single episode on a graph, I think you could visualize that graph with a slow climb. And then yesterday it went up, I should say Sunday, recording the podcast on Monday, it went up another notch. I loved that they were creative and added heavy personnel packages with 10 snaps from Robert Jones, where they would flip Jesse Davis over to the other side of the formation, and you would have Robert Jones as either a backside tackle and some pass protection roles, or getting some seal blocks, some cut blocks, getting some second level blocks, doing a few things there in the offense, or the heavy personnel offensive game plan. And, you know, Brian Flores said this was part of the game plan heading in to utilize that package, and he thought they executed it well. And I think there was a little bit of influence from the success of the run game within the passing game. That 15-yard curl route that Tua threw to Parker middle of the second quarter, you see the whole line, the Dolphins' offensive line, and this is what it looks like when you're doing zone blocking. Your first step is all in the same direction in unison. You see them all work to the right, and then the tight end and running back come up and double to seal the edge that Tua wants to boot to, that Tua wants to roll to, so he can step into that throw, and you kind of see the influence of the running game impact the passing game. That complementary approach really clicked on that particular look. I also continue to love these wide runs on fourth and short. They had a fourth and one toss sweep that worked out, and on that play, Michael Dieter got himself a pancake block, and then Big Rob Hunt throws Duke forward for a couple of extra yards. Thought that was pretty hilarious. The screen pass, oh man, the screen pass was pretty. Miami floods the boundary, the short side of the formation, then throws the football back to the other side, the field side of the formation, and you get both Austin Jackson and Robert Hunt turned free to the second level, and Austin gets a chip on number 40, doesn't get him all the way to the ground, and then here comes big number 68, and oh boy, does he clean things up with a big shot. He had a few pancakes or chucking guys on the ground. Rob Hunt had another very big game for the Miami Dolphins, and at that point of the screenplay, Duke puts on a juke, breaks two tackles, and it's out the gate for 20 yards. Big time game from him, and really the entire offensive line and the short passing game and the running game all game long. What a play that was. And you also can see that there was a defender that dang near cut Duke Johnson off before he even got out of the kind of the scrum there. And it was held up because Liam Eichenberg came across the formation and cut a player who was trying to work over the top of that throw. But he gets over there and holds on just long enough for Duke to get out. So several guys making plays on that particular play. And that'll be a theme throughout the course of this tape review podcast. And we go forward to Miles Gaskin's 7-yard run on the second drive of the third quarter. Thought this play was very indicative of how the offensive line played throughout the course of this game. Liam and Austin had a fantastic double where they just carried their man 5 yards up the field, and eventually that double team block swallows up the second level linebacker who comes up to fill that gap. So they were hitting double teams throughout the course of this game on both sides of the offensive line, but really Liam and Austin connecting on some of those hip-to-hip, shoulder-to-shoulder, your first-round pick from a year ago, your second-round pick from this year, really showing up in tandem on a lot of these good double-team blocks. And speaking of Miles, man, he picked one hell of a time to have his best run of the entire season. That 30-yard run that got out the backside looked like it was dead to rights at the start, but he barely squeezed through that thing and got a nice seal from Jesse. Then Albert Wilson comes downfield and hits a big block and carries it for a while on that 30-yard run. So that was kind of the Miles Gaskin portion of the podcast, and a huge play in that game that really put Miami from, are they going to win this game, to really in the driver's seat to control the rest of that game. But as far as the offensive line goes, start with Austin Jackson here. As a pulling guard from the backside, he really does a good job staying tight into the line and into Rob Hunt's backside when he kind of curls around that, the gap between the right guard and the right tackle, your right side B gap there. And it really helps kind of condense the options for the linebacker to shoot those gaps because they're keeping such tight splits when he comes around in that tight formation. I was very impressed by that, with how kind of nimble he is working in those tight spaces. And then in pass protection, I think there's just far less panic this year than earlier, or right now I should say, than there was earlier in the year for Austin Jackson. He mentioned in his Monday media that playing guard has kind of taught him some technique things that he needed. And on the play where it's tipped and caught by Burt, the pass to Mike Gesicki that gets tipped up into the air, you see the defensive tackle punch and then try to disengage and rip through on Jackson's left shoulder. But he stays calm and doesn't kind of panic when the shoulders are not matching the feet, and just lets the feet kind of catch up and establish a firm base to then re-anchor and drop that weight again. So some very nice work in this game from Austin Jackson with the technique stuff, and he mentioned it too in his Monday presser. Liam Eichenberg, I thought everything about him looks more fluid and confident over the last few weeks. He's getting into his sets for whatever the ask might be, whether it's vertical, whether it's a go attack and get the blocker type of set. And he showcased this in a variety of running plays and passing plays. Like, there was one where he has to seal a backside run where you have to kind of cut off that short angle where you might see like an Andrew Van Ginkel or an Emmanuel Ogbah chase around that weak side edge. Just go kind of get in the way and seal that thing off and really get the weight on the toe so you can transition and drop that anchor and kind of use the balls of your feet to keep that attacker at bay. And I thought he did that throughout the course of this game. He had another play where he has a chip and a double with Austin Jackson, where he then chips or catches and climbs to get to the second level. And he was in that second level making a lot of big blocks for the course of this game. And then in pass protection, I thought it was more of the same as far as the technique goes. I thought his hands were excellent. He didn't really put so much, you know, on the plate of his feet in terms of, if that makes any sense, where he gets better up top so that he can play better in the lower half. So because the hands are better, it makes it easier on his feet to recover on some of those redirections or, you know, speed move, speed to power, or inside type of move where guys are making lateral decisions on Liam Eichenberg. He also threw a nice cut block on our very first completion of the game. On the Christian Wilkins touchdown, what a job to wham the offsides defender by Liam Eichenberg on that play. I mean, we get to replay the down if it doesn't work there, but Liam's work basically helped give us that celebration on that touchdown. Big play there. And just the strong hands in general. He latched on and ended so many reps right at the point in this game where he just goes out and gets guys. And again, go check the Tua truck play, the 9-yard run. Liam goes and gets the man and locks him up and shuts down his runway, where he just closes any potential for him to build up some speed to go to power or, again, to make an inside or outside move. Goes and gets the block and ends it right there. I mentioned Rob Hunt, thought he was terrific all game long, and his best block was pulling and sealing on the 2nd and 6th run right before the kind of red zone area on the game-winning drive. It was a 12-yard run by Duke Johnson. It was a key block where he works around another double team by Liam and Austin and pulls plays out and hits a key block on CJ Mosley to free up a nice 12-yard Duke Johnson run. Speaking of Duke, what a nice sense of urgency and explosiveness to the hole that he runs with, and very decisive running. It looked like he was okay with making a wrong choice as long as he did it quickly. And as the game went on, he seemed to make the right choice more and more often. What a performance it was from the hometown kid. You saw it with his fourth run of the game, a 3rd-and-1 conversion. It's the Dolphins' 3rd offensive series. He slips a tackle from Mosley, but Mosley could really only get an arm out there one arm out there because Liam Eichenberg has a great second level block, squaring him up after helping Chip on that block on Austin Jackson's man we talked about in the previous segment here on the catch and climb from Liam Eichenberg. But then Duke Johnson makes the arm tackle miss. And that was something we saw throughout the course of this game, I thought. The two touchdown runs. Number one, the first one, he wants to get wide, gets caught up and slides a gap over and just slams that thing in to get it over the top. And check out Robert Jones on that play, the extra offensive lineman. We've seen so little of him between preseason and now a handful of regular season reps. But the intrigue only built for me in this game about his game. I think he still has something there to work with, the undrafted rookie this year on the Dolphins offensive line. But he stayed in for pass pro on one play also, and it was an incomplete hitch slash back shoulder conversion throw to Devontae Parker sometime in the third quarter. But he blocked the end pretty well on that one too. So some tackle work, some interior work in the running game, like what I saw from Robert Jones, and was there for both of Duke Johnson's touchdown runs. The second one, it was just really well blocked at the first level, enough to get us to a 5-yard run down to about the 2-yard line for second and goal, but Duke wasn't satisfied with that. He just finished that thing off with pure effort like he did the first run. So two big effort runs from Duke Johnson for a pair of touchdowns. And oh man, it got cooking on that run that was at 9:29 in the second quarter. You get a skip pull play side from Big Rob Hunt. What that means is you're going to see the guard kind of do a little shuffle step to work to his new gap. And obviously Rob is the right guard, so he leaves and tries to come around the left guard's left shoulder, which is the left side B gap. And he wants to kind of delay it because you have Duke in the pistol. The operation takes a little bit longer to execute, so you don't want him just sprinting over there and getting out in front of the play. So you skip pull him to kind of time up more with the mesh point with the handoff. And as this kind of occurs, Duke has patience working behind Rob Hunt, and he does a little skip step of his own to the left, and it brings a linebacker from Rob's right shoulder over to his left shoulder. And after this little skip step, he goes right back to the windback lane, sets that thing up beautifully after pressing it play side. The jump cut back to the backside explodes out that backside gap, and it not only helps Rob Hunt on his block, it helps Liam Eichenberg gain leverage on a second level block as well. Then he puts his head down and picks up 4 more yards through the tackle. What a friggin' run. That was all game long for Duke. And then later, how about the spin move on 2nd and 5 to set us up for a 3rd and 1 opposed to what looked like it was going to be a loss? I mean, he gets out wide and the edge is completely set. He just spins off that tackle, and because the north and south momentum, he falls forward for a gain of 4. I just love the way he ran in this game. His 11-yard run to end the third quarter, Austin Jackson gets a pancake, and Liam is sealing and working downfield to stay on his block. They just continue to kick ass in the running game all game long. The numbers will bear that out here in just 1 second. But Duke, again, finishes for a handful of extra yards. And then finally, the last note on his game was the stiff arm on the outside run on the game-winning drive. That's all that needs to be said about it. Presses inside, bounces out wide, throws the stiff arm, and springs another 7 or 8 yards after that on a first down completion. And all of a sudden, it's at the negative 42-yard line for Miami on that game-winning drive. Great stuff there from Duke Johnson. Speaking of that game-winning drive, Tua had that first throw to get Miami going in positive direction for a 9-yard gain to Mike Gesicki. Let's talk about his game. It was up and down, at least as far as I was concerned. And, you know, I just want to go ahead and make it a point that this is strictly my opinion when breaking down the film, without knowing exactly what the play design or what the play call is or who's supposed to be where, etc. This is my best guess at what I'm seeing. So take it with a grain of salt. We'll talk to the coaches on Tuesday and get their opinions on things further and continue to use their word as gospel. And this is just my opinion only, and that's all it is, right? An opinion, everyone has one. Here's what my take on Tua's game on Sunday. Early on, the failed exchange looked to me like Duke never expected a handoff, and he might have had Devontae Parker on a slant for a possible first down. Just a rough start that got worse on the very next snap. The interception to start the second drive. He's throwing that to Mike Gesicki on a corner route, but it looks like Mike's route is basically over, and rightfully so, because not only is he covered over the top, an underneath cloud corner kind of falls back and flipped his hips and got depth, double covering Mike. He's just not open. And it looks like the boundary safety shows buzz. What that means, you might hear a lot about the term 3-buzz. Cover 3-buzz is where you show quarters with 4 deep, type like 2 corners and 2 safeties deep, and then your third guy will buzz the middle, rob the middle of the field, and kind of take a shot on a crossing route or try to maybe a hook route, a dig route, something over the middle, and then it kind of converts into a cover 3 look. and that boundary safety buzzed and then realized there was no crossing route, and he goes back into a deep safety look, and he's over the top, and Mike's like, all right, this route's not going to work. He sees it that way. Tua does not, and Devontae Parker comes open, but it looks like he kind of pulls his arm down as if to say, no way is that ball for me, and I don't think it was, and you guys know I'm a huge fan of number one's game, but this was just such a blip, way off the charts for his standard, that I don't want to say, like, I just kind of want to say shake it off and move on, because there's nothing to suggest that this is some kind of trend, so the key now is to not let it become one going forward, but a really strange play there on Tua's first interception. The deep shot to Albert Wilson. I was wrong about this on the Sunday recap pod. Wilson runs a delayed wheel route where I thought it was more of a generic wheel route, or a traditional wheel route, I should say, where he's really working first to stretch the cloud corner horizontally going lateral to the line of scrimmage, but then he just gets turned free, and as the safety closes downfield on Devontae Parker, Tua sees it and tries to set up to throw a deep ball as the rush kind of gets in as he throws the ball, but it's just about 5 yards short of where it needed to be to hit Albert Wilson in stride. It's a tough throw, and he missed it. That's a throw where if Miami can hit that, it can really take this offense to the next level. I really hope we get that look again at some point later in the season, because I want to see if they can execute it this time around. The very next ball to Devontae Parker, the one batted and nearly picked off again. Again, his location is off, which just speaks to it being a rusty start for Tua. I mean, the guy literally leads the league in completion percentage. We know he's accurate, but he's just off again. And I'll say this again. I talked about Waddle's value to the offense. Look, it's no secret. Look at his reception and receiving numbers. It's all there for you. Tua really shines when throwing to separation, like when he can anticipate separation off of a break and throwing the ball to put the guy in a spot to maximize that separation. And for large swaths of this game, in the first game without Waddle this season, it was a lot of throws into tight windows against a lot of receivers that are not separating against a Jets defensive backfield that played very well in this game. And I think that was reflective in the fact that Tua's aggressive percentage, which are throws into windows of 1 yard or tighter, jumped up like 4% in this game from what it was heading into the game. We'll get to that here in just 1 second. But lots of throws into tight windows into covered receivers. But then it got better. The corner route to Devontae Parker, who again is covered, but there's leverage on this throw. And I don't really have to add a whole lot from yesterday other than this one crucial detail. I told you the cloud corner had crashed the flat. That's because one looked out to the flat, and not only were his eyes to the flat, his front-facing shoulder and his front foot were facing that direction, which indicates a throw to the flat. He then squares back up to the corner and fires that dime away from Parker to kind of box out the defensive back, and it's a good catch and a tremendous throw from Tagovailoa. He had three significant scrambles in this game. Nice work on each one of them for good chunks of yards. Except the shoulder drop. Let's not do that, okay? He said that himself. I agree. No more of that. And after doing the scramble on back-to-back plays on a drive at the end of the first half, he then has a nice strike to Mike Gesicki after a false start had pushed him back into second long to move the chains. But then another throw to Mike Gesicki on the next play, this one in the end zone where there are three Jets defenders in the area. It looks like Mike gets his hands on it, but still kind of a dangerous proposition, and Durham was naked in the flat. So just the type of reads that you don't expect him to, like, he's usually really good at that stuff. So I'm not going to worry about it until it becomes a trend. Right now, it was a one-game thing with the type of stuff. And then he gets a reset and come back in the second half. And the throw to Isaiah Ford was so nice. The Jets dial up a blitz, as they did at the end of the first half on a third and goal throw that Tua just threw out the back of the end zone. Tua goes to the one guy in the pattern on this play that stacks his man after Isaiah gets a clean release and gets right on top. And you also see the middle of the field safety roll and get out to the opposite direction at the snap. Tua's eyes are on him. He sees that and says, all right, there goes. That's where the ball's going. It comes out. And both those things allowed Isaiah to play that ball in the air like he did. It was a great route, a dime throw, a nice catch. And then later in the game, Isaiah had a 3rd-and-5 conversion where he catches a two-way go and puts a nice move to get space for Tua to hit him on the out route. Just a good job of keeping the eyes down the middle on that play by Tua to not let the defender on the outside drive and anticipate that outside breaking throw. So I thought Tua and Ford showed some good chemistry in this game. After the long pass on the over-the-shoulder bucket throw to Ford, we come back with a terrific route from Mike Gesicki on a crucial 3rd-and-9 conversion right before the end zone on the opening drive of that second half. And that was a great route by Gesicki where he flips his man's hips and then kind of puts him in the spin cycle with the inside release and spins back outside. Ball's perfect, move the sticks, and then we get the Duke Johnson touchdown run. And then that whole shot to Isaiah Ford coming off an offensive holding call where he just sits in the zone. And man, that ball came out before Ford even settled up in that hookup zone. And the velocity to beat the defender was nice. It was a nice, strong, confident throw there from Tua. You love to see those throws against the zone. The very next one, though, disaster. And it was a good play by number 26 for the Jets to drive on this ball. You see Hunter Long come out of his break, and then it's kind of a shuffle step or two to regather and regather. So to me, that indicates a beat late in terms of the time of the football, and that's probably the reason why he can drive on that and make the play. Just a brutal result, hopefully a learning lesson for Tua and this Dolphins offense. Then you come back with a touchdown pass to Devontae Parker. We talked about it on Monday. That ball was behind him, but Devontae was given that two-way go, and he did a good job of kind of slow playing the inside release to give himself plenty of space. That separation gives you margin for error, and we needed it on that play. Big-time catch and turn up field for a touchdown for Devontae Parker. Let's talk about the defense, but first, real quick, these words. And as we talked about for the offense and the passing game early on, it was a rusty return for the Dolphins defense on the All-22 review here, the Tuesday edition of the Drive Time podcast for this Dolphins defense in the first half of this game. Some uncharacteristic big lanes in the running game, some receivers left alone by significant patches of grass like tight ends or backs or even receivers in the short areas, just getting turned free with nobody around them, way too many missed tackles. Just not the defense we had been seeing for the last 6 or so weeks in the first half of this game, but thankfully it turned around quickly in the second half. But also, a lot of those Jets plays were things that I think you can work to minimize going forward. Like, four of the Jets' big plays in that first half were a play action boot where Andrew Van Ginkle disengages the tight end to pursue Wilson. He throws it right over his head, big run and catch after that. A reverse that goes for 8 yards. A throwback where Zach Wilson catches a pass back from the receiver on a little end-around look, and he gets pressure right away and makes a tremendous scramble play and rolls back the other direction and throws to an uncovered Ryan Griffin, who again was turned completely free when Wilson reversed field. That one, to me, was frustrating. Then the fourth one, you get a hook and lateral, and there was four awkward jerseys in the neighborhood there on Braxton Berrios. But they just couldn't get him down short of the sticks, and that goes back to the tackling issues I thought we had in that first half. But the defense, we've seen again for the last 7 weeks, showed up right away from the first play in the second half when Zach Sealer gets knocked back, and it basically forces in a pulling guard, Elijah Vera Tucker. It knocks him over because the knockback forces a bubble, and the guard doesn't see it, and he gets knocked to the ground, and that creates a huge lane for Landon Roberts, who flies in and makes a huge hit right in that B gap to kind of set the tone on that first series. The Jets then try a now route to the flat from Trips, but Miami plasters this thing 3 for 3 all the way across the board. The Jets get a holding call. Ogba gets a sack. It goes backwards from there for them. From that first series, guys just seem to really lift their level of play. And on the third down play on that series, Van Ginkle chased Zach Wilson out to the sideline to get a third down stop there as well. And then the very next series, he does it again, the retrace, the kind of chase in one direction, change direction, go back the other way. We'll talk about that more here in just 1 second. You then get a 6 yard run, then Zach Wilson slips the sack from Justin Coleman, then bang, there's Brandon Jones, who gets home for an 8 yard loss. And I like the way Miami reacted to those bootlegs and the naked action for the quarterback in the second half. It was one hell of an adjustment from that first half, because that's kind of how the Jets were setting up a lot of those trick plays and the misdirection to get false steps and cause some of the tackling issues and cause some of the eye discipline issues in that first half. But Miami went into the locker room, adjusted, and put a stop to it immediately. You love to see that. The next play, completion, and then boom, Andrew Van Ginkle comes off the edge like an F1 car and gets the sack on Zach Wilson. The very next drive, they get two big plays on a tight end flat and a running play that both went for like 20-something yards. But then Zach Sealer comes up with a strip sack, working past the guard, running right through the back. Great job getting the ball out and in the bottom of the pile by Ogba to get that ball out of the bottom of the pile as well for the fumble recovery. They just couldn't get anything going. It was either immediate pressure or coverage that forced Wilson to tuck it and go and make a secondary decision. Let's talk about the individuals. Brandon Jones, that sack I talked about, he sure is fun to watch, man. The first play of the game, he's running away from the play in motion, and he has to come all the way back to the other side of the formation and makes a tackle on a play that was strung out on the opposite sideline from where he came from. and he's moving on that play, and really a lot of these plays he makes, he just moves at a different speed than the guys around him. Going back to the front of the defense, up front on the defensive line, man, these guys, they balled out once again. Emmanuel Ogbah, the Jets threw a ball to Jamison Crowder in the flat on the first drive, and you watch Ogbah swat down the hands of the right tackle before a bull rush and just runs him right into the turf. It made me laugh quite a bit. Him and Sealer have some of the best grown man football tape you're going to see out there. The very next drive, he forces the back to bubble on a run away from him. He then flattens off the snap and gets into a sprint as the unblocked end going away from him. I love the way the Dolphins pursue the football off the edge on runs away from them. And I'm also very glad he got the pass defense that he did. But Brandon Jones was coming downhill on that route and might have had a play on the ball. Either way, good work from both. Talk about grown man football. Speaking of Zach Sealer, time and time again, how about him recognizing that quarterback throwback and retracing upfield for a pass breakup on one of the Jets' many trick plays? You don't see that very often, not from a 300 or a 290-pound guy getting upfield playing pass coverage. The very next play, a new drive, he kicks out wide to a five technique and swims inside Elijah Vera Tucker, having a great rookie season at left guard, who's pulling to seal the outside shoulder of Sealer, and he just swims over it and makes a play in the backfield. This guy, I just keep writing this guy, man, he's crazy. First play, second half, talk about the knockback he gets where he trips up the pulling guard and gives a Landon Roberts that free run for a hit in the backfield and a loss. Set a big toe in there in the second half of that game. We mentioned the swim on the run stuff earlier. That's how he got his trip sack too. The guard shoots for his left shoulder. He sidesteps it, swims, and gets that arm over the top to get right around him, then bulldozes the back and bang, strip sack for a huge play. Staying up front, Christian Wilkins, it so often looks like he's just playing against the sled they work on in practice, where he just pops that thing up, stays engaged, peeks around the corner, and gets off the block. But he doesn't commit to a gap until it's been declared by the back, and that helps him make good decisions and helps him create chances for his teammates as well. He comes off and impacts the back's decision-making so frequently that it just slows things down a notch for the rest of his guys. And it's, you know, he gets a really big play late in this game to get a 2-yard tackle for loss after the Jets had taken over with good field position. He knocks him back. They go back and back and back after that. Good work from Christian Wilkins. I put a note on Raekwon Davis that he just so rarely gets moved, even against double teams. We talk about that edge position on this team. It's been, I think, one of the best groups of the entire team. Let's talk about Andrew Van Ginkel, who he does so many things well right now. He does such a good job down in and down out of setting a high edge. And what I mean by that is getting damn near parallel to the line of scrimmage and really getting on the outside shoulder into the backfield. So that if that back on an outside run wants to go the long way around, he's going to have to bubble. And what that means is you work backwards opposed to being lateral to the line of scrimmage. And that, of course, allows the rest of the flow of the defense to gain a step or two on those outside pursuit plays. Then going the other direction at the end of the first half, he pursues one as the unblocked man, like Ogbah did earlier, and pulls the back backwards for his friends to arrive and finish off a tackle for loss. He's playing so fast, and it showed on that third down stop to kick off the second half, like we mentioned earlier, where Van Ginkel matches Zach Wilson step for step on a spy. They play coverage, zero pressure look. Only three guys come. One of them is Andrew Van Ginkel playing kind of a spy over the middle and keep yourself clean of the block. And they cover it up. Wilson has to get outside and run, and he matches him step for step to the sideline. No chance. And then again, the very next play on the next series, he chases him all over the field and does not let Zach Wilson get away. What a day for Andrew Van Ginkel. Jalen Phillips had a quiet day statistically, but he had a big pass rush at the end of the third quarter that forced Wilson off the spot, didn't finish the sack, but Jerome Baker cleaned it up. Speaking of Bake, that 3rd and 9 where Byron's in tight coverage, I thought Baker really forced the football to come out when it did with a good pass rush, where he stays on the outside shoulder of the back and just keeps working inside to force Wilson's platform to kind of get off platform, as it were, and force him off the original spot. The ball comes out quickly, and his first sack of the game came right after the hook and lateral, where he gets the back to step up and pass pro right away, like, I'm going to challenge this linebacker, and he lost, and Jerome Baker gets a big sack there. In the defensive secondary, X and Byron, the best way I can explain it for this game is that you saw such minimal movement when they were in close competition, whether it's jam or the top of the route, just difficulty for the receivers to create missteps for 25 and 24. Then also minimal indecisiveness when they would pull the trigger, like to fire out of the back pedal to make a decision. when driving on those routes. Just no real mystery for them as to what the receiver wanted to do. Fire the trigger, drive on the top of the route. They did it all game long. And the Jets ran so much motion and bunches, and I thought they communicated those combos beautifully from those looks to say, hey, I got inside, you got outside, vice versa. Byron's ability to really, you know, X didn't get a lot of action this game. So Byron's ability to go from mirror and then flip the hips and get on the horse and get vertical is still as smooth as anybody there is in this league. He creates such small windows on those throws, and it felt like at times last year, quarterbacks were hitting those at like an abnormally high rate. But man, he's always in good shape on those. And I love that the one catch that Pro Football Focus credited to him was a 9-yard completion on 4th and 10 to end the game. Great game, Byron. And then Nick Needham, nothing deep, and the big plays were short throws that sprung free. So I thought he did a good job in his first real ever free safety action. That's your All-22 review. Let's move on to the numbers here. But first, real quick, a few words. All right, so that is the film review. Let's go ahead and pick it up with the PFF numbers here. And we start with Tua Tagovailoa's game. Did you know that he was 2 for 3 on 20-plus yard throws with an average depth of target of 32.3 yards, 64 yards on passes completed over 20 yards? He had a struggle in the intermediate, though, 3 for 9 for 36 yards and a pick. Under pressure, not his best game, 4 for 9, 41 yards, a touchdown and interception. When he was blitzed, though, that was when the Dolphins got some of their hay, 6 for 10, 53 yards, and both touchdowns coming against blitzes from that Jets defense. Both interceptions came against four-man rushes. Duke Johnson forced 8 missed tackles in the game and averaged 3.68 yards after contact. And Miles had a season-high 4 yards average after contact. He missed forced a big missed tackle on his best run, really, that 30-yard massive, massive run. He had 2 forced missed tackles in the day and averaged 5.4 yards per carry. Isaiah Ford had 3.64 yards per route run in this game. That was a season high for him, and 17 yards per target, where Devontae Parker had a very good showing at 2.27 yards per route run and 7.5 yards per target. And again, that ball he caught for the touchdown, what a catch that was. Pressures up front. First of all, no sacks from the offensive line. They gave it to Tua as far as Pro Football Focus is concerned after a scramble play for no gain. But Liam Eichenberg has his 3rd straight game with 1 or fewer pressure. You like the way that sounds? I talk about his pass pro looking good. There are some numbers to back that up. Austin Jackson, clean sheet, no pressures. Michael Dieter, 2 pressures, both QB hits. Rob Hunt, 1 pressure allowed. Jesse Davis, 2 pressures. 5 pressures from the offensive line. Check that, 6 pressures. How about some directional rushing? The left end, 8 for 49. Left tackle, 1 for 6. Left guard, 5 for 28. Total, 14 for 83. That's 5.93 yards per carry. And running behind Rob Hunt at right guard, just a cool 15.5 yards per carry. Defensively for the Dolphins, pressures in the game. Ogba had 7, Van Ginkel had 5, that's 12 from your 2 primary edges. It doesn't count Jalen Phillips, who also had 1. Adam Butler had 3, Jerome Baker and Justin Coleman both had 2. Run stops, Justin Coleman had 4. Wilkins and Brandon Jones had 3 apiece. Raekwon Davis had 2 and a bunch of guys had 1. Ogba now has 7 sacks. It's the second highest total of his career, both of those 9 last year. With the Miami Dolphins, his 10 pass breakups are most among defensive linemen this year. Cameron Hayward in Pittsburgh is 2nd with 7. Ogba has 57 pressures. That's 9th in the NFL. Van Ginkel has 40. That's 28th in the NFL. Phillips has 37. That's tied for 29th among edges. 3 guys in the top 30 in edge pressures. X and Byron played 72 coverage snaps apiece, or a total, I should say. 5 targets, 1 on X. 1 catch for 9 yards on Byron Jones, 1 for 4. As a team, Miami's 37 sacks are tied for 4th in the NFL prior to the Monday and Tuesday games. Their 21 takeaways are 9th most, again, prior to the Monday and Tuesday games. Next-gen stats, not a lot to update here. A lot of the rankings are the same. Tua is 5th in time to throw at 2.51 seconds. He's 1st in aggressive throw percentage at 19.2%. That jumped almost 4% from last week. We talked about the receiver and the separation thing at the top of the podcast. His completion above expected rate is 3.1% plus. That's 3rd best in the NFL behind Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray. And this isn't next gen, but he's 8th in the NFL in total QBR at 56.4. Josh Allen, Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford are the names in front of him. In the game, he hit a long air yard throw of 40.5 air yards. The fastest time measured in this game was Albert Wilson, 18.72 miles per hour, and Andrew Van Ginkel had the fastest sack at 2.9 seconds. How about some snap counts? Tua played 68, Jacoby played 3. The offensive line went wire to wire for all 71 snaps. Robert Jones played 10 snaps. That's 14%. At running back, Duke Johnson played 41. That's 58% of the workload. Miles Gaskin played 26 snaps. At receiver, Devontae Parker led the way with 63 snaps. That was 89% of the workload. Albert Wilson played 41. Isaiah Ford, 19. Mac Hollins, 13 snaps. Preston Williams played 6 in the game. At tight end, Durham Smythe leads the way with 65 snaps, 92% of the workload. Mike Gesicki played 45. Hunter Long played 23. And Seathan Carter played 1. And Christian Wilkins had the 2 snaps on offense. He also had 42 snaps to lead all interior defensive linemen. That was 74% of the workload. Raekwon Davis played 31, and Zach Sealer and Adam Butler both played 28 apiece. Off the edge, Van Ginkel leads the way, 47 snaps, 82%. Jalen Phillips, 41 snaps. Ogba, 35 snaps, and Vince Beagle, 1. At linebacker, Jerome Baker played every rep, all 57. Alandon Roberts played 32 snaps. Duke Riley played 9. At cornerback, X, Byron, and Nick Needham all played every snap, all 57. At safety, so did Brandon Jones. And then Justin Coleman played 36 snaps. Eric Rowe played 33. So you get 4 defensive backs that really played all the snaps. And then Coleman, 36, Rowe, 33. Just used 6 guys in the day. That's the absence of Javon Holland being a part of that, obviously. Some notable special team snap counts. Vince Beagle, 25. Clayton Fegelum, 24. Sheldrick Redwine, 20 snaps. Let's go ahead and scan the social. So wanted to talk about players evolving and improving, and today we focus on the offensive line. We touched on it already in the All-22. This was the best offensive line performance we've seen this year from my money, and that's a damn good front the Jets bring with them down here to South Florida, not to mention where Saleh's bread has been buttered in his career in that same area up front. But for the Dolphins to have that kind of performance and for the individuals to stand out the way they did, guys that were drafted really in the last 2 years, and this isn't a one-time thing, it's a trend starting to kind of form over the last few weeks. Liam's last 3 games have been his best 3 games as a pro. Got to note the climb from last season with Robert Hunt playing as a top 10 right tackle his final 6 games of his rookie season. You see them kind of get better as we go along here. Michael Dieter coming back after not playing a game last year and giving you the production he's done up front. How about Austin Jackson's resurgence? Pushing guys in the running game, creating huge lanes, no pressures in the pass protection game. And it reminds me back to the 2020 pods when we would talk about complementing Tua's strengths with this massive offensive line that can lean on folks in the run game and the RPO game, and really by proxy, the entire run game as a collection of that. And I think you saw that in this game, that rushing performance with our full complement of weapons. I'm excited about the prospect of that. Hopefully they hit their stride right now. Either way, I'm pretty excited about what's to come both now and in the future. And to put a bow on that thought, Miami, as we've discussed, has done so well to continually restock the cupboards down the line, both in terms of cap flexibility, draft capital. They're obviously going to add talent, but the more you develop at each spot, if those additions are competing with incumbents, that's how you wind up with a deep team that goes 53 deep and it allows you to strengthen strengths. Hopefully that's the case we have going on here with the offensive line. Again, excitement, and that's for Monday in New Orleans more than anything else. All right. That's going to do it for our show. A long one here, the Tuesday film review edition of Drive Time. We're not going to have a podcast on Friday. Enjoy your Christmas with your family. That's Christmas Eve. So no John Kingemi interview this week. No mailbag on the podcast. We will have the Wednesday deep dive and the coaches pressers and the Thursday preview podcast taking a look at the Saints game. But no Friday show. As for my time, this time it's going to be my time. You all please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. You can follow me on Twitter at Wingfield NFL. Follow the team at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank podcast with Seth and OJ. Of course, our YouTube channel with all the media availabilities and Dolphins Today with me, Rachel, and Joanna Torres. And of course, MiamiDolphins.com. Until next time, fins up, Caroline. Daddy's coming home.